And we are in chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 is where we're at this evening. And last week, we talked about judgment, the judgment of a pastor. And the idea with that is pastors, for sure, need to be very careful with judgment. And not the perspective wasn't the judgment of the pastor judging people necessarily, but it was on what to do with judgment as people think things of him and how he ought to respond to that. And there can be negative judgment and there can be positive judgment, and the pastor has to be very careful with either of those things, because remember, as we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that it is a little thing, and that was given. Notice verse 3, but with me, Paul said, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Now, we must remember that judgment is not nothing. It is something, and it means something when somebody is judgmental of you or critical of you. It does mean something. Negatively and positively, it means something when people say things and they have judged us. Maybe it's a judgment of good and positive, or maybe it's a judgment negatively. And Paul says it's very little, and we've got to be very careful that judgment, although it means something to us, be very little with us. You know, we are trying to please the Lord, not people. It's a good thing when people are pleased. Obviously, we like that. I love it, you know, to please somebody, as long as it doesn't snare us. We're not after trying to be a people pleaser, so to speak, but we need to be God pleasers. And so we've looked at the judgment. Paul says, it's a very little thing of how I take the judgment. He said, listen, I don't care so much about what you think of me. And pastors need to think that much. You know what? As long as they're doing what God says, you know what? It doesn't matter to please the people. It's pleasing God. What does God think? And may God, help me and help other preachers and pastors to please God. I believe that that is a snare of many pulpits, pastors, that they feel ensnared that they've got to please everybody and they got to please the people. And so they end up doing things to cater to what they want and to what they think, and that is not the responsibility of a pastor, is not simply to the people, but to God, as we're under shepherds. And so understand that, but last week the application wasn't just to pastors, it was to all of us. We need to be careful that what we're doing is we're pleasing the Lord, not just trying to cater to people and what they want, and we have to be so careful. And Paul even says in verse 3, he says, or of man's judgment. Yeah, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing of myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that justifieth me, judgeth me as the Lord. Paul was even very careful about judging his own self, because it's very difficult to judge your own self. And on top of that, we can look at ourselves too positively, and many of us have that fault. We can also look at ourselves too negatively as well. Sometimes we don't look at what God has done with us in our lives. Not that we lift up ourselves, but we can be so down on ourselves and not realize that God has made us into something to be used. And so thoroughly tried to explore that last week. We've got to be careful with judgment. And of course, there's a small application. You've got to be careful with judging other people as well. Not so much of what Paul is talking about. So be careful about judging other people. And we're going to talk more about judgment here in just a moment. We need to be careful about judging. But understand that other people's judgment upon us, positively and negatively, ought to be small. Small, okay? We've got to be careful not to be driven by people and what they want, okay? It matters what God thinks of us. And then even of our own selves, be careful to let God do the judging of us positively and negatively. Now we get to verse 5, okay? And so we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Now Paul continues on with this judging thoughts, okay? So follow. And we're just going to look at one verse tonight. Very simple, one verse. Therefore, so based upon what he's just said about judgment of others, it's a small thing. Be careful. Be careful about judging. Be careful about receiving judgment. Be careful about judging your own selves. God's a judge. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. God, would you help me as I share this verse tonight? I pray that it would that you would give me the words to be able to declare your truth, but also to explain your truth. Lord, that we can apply your truth, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to illumine the truth and make it practical in each one of our lives. So God, would you do that work? And may we learn much this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Tonight we're talking about the judgment of the future. The judgment of the future. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. All right. I've already reviewed the context. Tonight we're looking at assurance of future judgment. I want you to see, first of all, that there is going to be a judgment. Did you notice that? He says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. We all understand, do you not, that there's going to be a time of judgment, right? Now, let's think through this. There's going to be a time of judgment for every person. But every person's not going to have to go through every judgment, okay? Now, there's a couple different judgments in the Scriptures. Now, we're talking about future judgment here. And so how many of you could, not how many, who could tell me what two judgments are coming in the future? We have one judgment, and then we have another judgment. What would be the first judgment after the rapture has taken place? There's going to be a judgment right away. What's that judgment called? The judgment seat of Christ. Anybody know a different name for that judgment? The Bema Seat, okay? The Bema Seat. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Who are the subjects being judged here? I'm going to let you answer some questions tonight. Who are the subjects being judged at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ? Okay, these are Christians, saved individuals that will be judged, okay? So you're on track so far. Let me ask another question. The judgment of these people is going to be what? Now, to make it easier, I'll give you an A and a B. Boy, don't you love when you take a test and there are options, right? So you don't go way off the deep end. Now, I think that you probably already know the judgment seat of Christ. Is it a judgment of our works in relation to salvation, or is it going to be a judgment of how we use the resources that God has given to us? What do you think? B, okay? I didn't label them that way. It's B. Let's understand, folks, understand this. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross already, has our sin already been paid for? What's the answer? Absolutely. Are you thankful for that? Praise the Lord. Can you imagine what it would be like? Let's say the judgment seat of Christ was concerning our works and salvation. Can you imagine what that would be like to go there and be judged for all of our works, and in the end, we would be deemed as unworthy, right? And we would be on our way to a lake of fire. Wouldn't that be a dreadful thing? Oh, folks, can I tell you, though, that as a Christian, your works, your sin has already been judged. It's already done. Jesus on the cross had done the work, and he said, it is finished. It is done. There's not a chance that we have to go and we have to answer for all that sin again. Jesus paid it all, as the song says. All to him I owe. Sin hath left the crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. It's gone. It's gone. Folks, we don't have to worry about going to the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer for all the sins we've committed on this earth. That would be a horrible thing, but that's done, folks. So the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with that. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be a time when we go stand before the Lord and, okay, so Pastor Sean, I gave you these responsibilities and I gave you the things. How did you do with those things? And of course, What did I do? Did I take them and hide them and do nothing with them? Or have I tried to multiply those and try to do with what I can to try to increase and invest and do more with those things? Those things will be judged that way, and what I've done and what motives I have done those things with. Was it to try to please men? Was it to try to look good? Was it try to be super spiritual? Or why did you do that? And of course, I won't be punished. I won't burn up myself, but my works will be tried that way. And would they be wood, hay, and stubble? Would they be gold? And what are the three? Gold, is it silver? Gold, silver, precious stones. Okay, that was last chapter. Those things, you know, will they be burned up or not? Okay, so that's the judgment. Now, we know that there's another judgment. What's the second big judgment, of course, in eternity? Yeah, and that's the great white throne. Are you thankful that you don't have to stand before the great white throne? That is what we were describing before, and that's going to be a horrible time, you know, that that people unsaved will be judged there, and of course for their sin, and they will of course, they are not pleasing the Lord because they're not saved. And so if you're here saved tonight, you don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment. And we're escaped that. And so the judgment seat of Christ, and there is going to be a judgment. In fact, in Hebrews tells that there's going to be a judgment to all mankind. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Okay, so we understand that there is a judgment. We understand the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. Now let's get back to our text here. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And he's talking in verse 5 about a judgment that's going to come. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Okay, let me stop right there. Let me ask you a question. What judgment do you think he's talking about? The great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ? This is not a trick question. It's not that hard, okay? It's the judgment seat of Christ, okay? It's not the great white throne judgment. All right, so there's going to be some motives and some things what we've done with the things that God has given to us that we're going to have to answer for. Remember, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Remember that in verse 2? Okay, there's going to be an accounting of what we have done with the things that God has given to us as managers of his things. Okay, so he's talking about this judgment in the future. And I want you to understand something. As we look at this, some very practical things tonight, as we look, I want you to see a few key things here. First, we are instructed not to judge anything before that time. Did you take note of that? Let's read it again. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come. We're talking about the rapture. As soon as we're raptured, one of the very first things on the agenda is the judgment seat of Christ. And God is telling Christians, he's telling the church here, he's saying, listen, I don't want you judging other people wrongly before I come. You say wrongly, it doesn't say wrongly. Do you understand in scriptures there is a biblical exception to those things that God, everybody listen, you say, what are we supposed to judge? Everybody says, judge not, judge not, judge not. Now, we have to be very careful because here another passage is saying you better not be judging before the time is coming. Listen to this. God is not telling us that we cannot take the things that are clear in Scripture that are wrong and not declare truth about those things. When God's Word says something is wrong and somebody has transgressed that sin, folks, we're not just supposed to cover our mouths and say, no, we've got that sin is it's very clear, it's done. It's when we don't know. And that is just a very simple and general rule that when we know, when something is wrong, you think about a parent. Okay, a parent of saved children. Is God telling the parent here when that young person lies, not to judge them for that lie? Let's say that lie is found out that they did lie, and they're even maybe willing to admit it. I lied. Well, mom and dad doesn't look at that and say, well, God says not to judge. Therefore, son, I will not judge you for this lie. No, it's very clear. Is God clear that lying is wrong? What do you think? Yes, God says that lying is wrong, and there's a penalty for it. And a parent would be wrong not to judge that sin. And can I say this? As Christians, when there's blatant sin that's wrong, that it is very clear that's wrong, we've got to call sin sin. You know, I think one of the detriments of the day and age that we're living in is people, because of what's going on out there in our communities and our world, we're scared to death, or we're getting more and more scared to call sin, sin. Because don't you dare judge me. Don't you dare be prejudiced against me. You know what, folks? We're living in a day where we're wiping out judgment. God never said that we're not supposed to judge things that are very clearly right and wrong. In fact, we are supposed to be judges of that. That's not the issue in our churches. Well, there may be issues in some churches. That's really not what we're talking about here. But I want you to understand something. Scripture does not condemn all judgment. We are to be judges of right and wrong according to the Scriptures. We've got to, and we will be in a bind, we will bind ourselves when we decide, no, we're not judges, and we can't say anything. We can't, you know what sin is. Folks, that's what's happening in our world. People are seeing sin, but we can't say anything about it. Either someone will hurt us, or we'll get in trouble because we spoke out against it. And I want to tell you, I have spent time thinking as a pastor, what am I willing to say, and what ought I to say? Now, I do believe that we have to. It's not prudent to be unwise in just blatantly going out there and screaming all kinds of things so everybody can hear everything. I think there's got to be a wise. I mean, we want to continue to operate the way we operate and do what God calls us to do. And I think there's some people in the world that feel like it's their duty to go out and scream to everybody something, and they're going to get in trouble, and they're going to suffer the consequences. And I don't think that that is the right philosophy, but I will say this. We need to be willing to preach what God's truth says without apology, even if it does mean some sort of persecution or punishment. We've got to be willing to say it. And the day a pastor or a church decides that they're going to stop talking because of judgment, that is going against God's word and His truth. We must be willing to talk about God's judgment. So when He's saying don't judge, He's not saying don't be willing to declare truth and what God says about it. Does everybody understand that? We are to be judges of God's truth, and churches are to be judges of truth. When something happens that is ungodly and unbiblical in the church or among the church people, it's supposed to be taken and handled and fixed and solved so that the church can move forward. It has never been a part of the church to just ignore it and pretend all that's going to happen is the church is going to get into greater hurt and troubles and struggles. And in fact, 1 Corinthians has a lot to deal with that in the coming chapters. And we'll get to that. So, judgment is not saying I can't say anything about anybody else. That is not true. It's got to be, if it's true. The problem, folks, listen, the problem is that we say a lot of things that we don't know. Okay? That we're not sure of. Okay? And so, and I could go, I had a bunch of notes here. I could go through a lot of things that God does condemn about sin. I think you understand. Does God's word condemn sin? Sin. It's in there. I don't know that we need to go through a lot of verses. I mean, I could have tons of verses the rest of the time that talks about, condemnation of sin. We're going to skip over that part, okay? Back to what He's truly saying, we need to be careful not to judge based on what we know. And that's really the level, okay? Let's differentiate ourselves between God. Here's another question, A or B, okay? Who is all-knowing, mankind or God? Okay, B, right? God is all-knowing. The problem with mankind is we are not all-knowing. Do you get that? We're not all-knowing. We don't know everything. Does God know everything? God knows everything, and He can rightly judge everything because He knows everything. So within the definition with what we've talked about with judgment, God is the perfect judge because He is all-knowing. Does that make sense? But we, as humans, are limited. We do not know everything. And so, therefore, we've got to be very careful because we don't know everything. Now, sometimes in life, we get to thinking that we know everything. Somebody does something, and right away we judge it and we say, they should have done this. The problem is what? Go ahead and say it. We don't know everything. Some people might say they should not have done that. Now, we're not talking about sin. We already cleared that out, right? You got that. We're not talking about somebody lying. They shouldn't have done that. Guess what? They shouldn't have done that. And that's truth, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we don't know, we've got to be very careful. Here's the problem with judging, is that our minds, our knowledge is on this level right here. God's knowledge is on a different level. It's all-encompassing. It's everywhere. God has knowledge of every single thing. And God knows the hearts, right? God knows the heart. He knows what's going on, and God can judge perfectly and righteously. But folks, we've got to, and this is the admonition here, don't judge. Don't sit in God's judgment seat when you as a human don't know everything. So many times, and folks, you've got to get down to your level. Let's get all down to our level. We are so quick to look at circumstances, and we know very limited. I would say we're even very limited in our own judgment on our own level. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, I have a hard time sometimes judging my own motives. Have you ever struggled with that? I have. Sometimes I don't even recognize my motives. God, I'm trying to have the right motive. Is there something here that I'm trying to get something for myself? Am I trying to do it for this? Am I trying to do it for you? And again, when I don't know, I don't have to worry so much about that. The Holy Spirit does a good job, folks, at doing His job. And we've got to allow that. You remember Psalm 139, which we'll allude to here in just a little bit, you know, as the psalmist is praying, and David. And who does David ask to search his heart? Did David search his own heart? No. That's called introspection. And any of us can get in trouble with introspection when we sit here and try to dig up and think about all the things that we've done wrong. When the Holy Spirit brings it to our mind, what do? Get it right. Don't waste a moment. Get it right. But it can be a dangerous thing to sit there and try to convict your own self and to pull it up. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can get into a deep hole by sitting there trying to be the Holy Spirit. Listen, none of us are the Holy Spirit in here. Whose job is it to convict the heart of mankind? Whose job is it? The Holy Spirit's. Let's not take His job. Because we cannot judge perfectly. And God tells us, don't judge. You know what? If you don't know if you've done wrong, then don't worry about it. God, through this Holy Spirit, can show you. And doesn't He do a good job at that? When you've done wrong, have you ever felt the Holy Spirit going like this? Now you've done it. You did wrong. You know what? We don't need to improve upon the Holy Spirit. He's perfect. He's perfect at convicting us of sin. We need to leave that to the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us don't listen to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is convicting. And that's just as wrong. We've got to be careful of that. But the Holy Spirit knows. God knows what the heart of man and when it's wrong. We don't. It's so easy, though, to think in our own lives, in our own way. And we don't even know ourselves, but we can get to think and we know the circumstances. And somebody does something or doesn't do it. And without knowing everything, we step into God's seat, which is very inadequate because, again, God knows everything and we don't. Is it valid to step into God's place? What do you think? Ever? No. He has the rightful place in His throne. He is the judge. And we've got to let Him stay there. It's when we, and that's what this passage is talking about, when we enter on this level and try to do work that's on that level, and when we point fingers and judge other people without knowing everything, not talking about sin. We know about that sin. When God says no, and you did it, that's wrong. But when we don't know something, do you realize that half the problems that we get into in our Christian lives are about things we don't know? We don't know. When we don't know everything, we've got to be careful then to judge that and say, hey, he or she, why didn't they? And there's a lot of questions, but we think, well, I think I saw the way that they reacted. It was written all over their face. My friend, I want to tell you something. God said, don't do it. Did everybody hear that? God said, don't do it. He's got a place to do that. And he will do it perfectly because he is the righteous judge. But my friend, it's more than just people, okay? You know, it makes sense, okay? I'm not supposed to judge this brother over here for what he's done. I mean, how do I know what's going on? How many times, and I've already confessed this to you, how many times have I misjudged somebody because I thought that I knew all the facts and I thought, well, they didn't have an excuse why they didn't do this, and I judged them, and then I found out later that there was something going on that I had no idea of or about, and I misjudged them. And I want to tell you, that's a detriment. And you know what that causes? What's Paul really hitting hard in the first couple chapters here? It causes division, contention, strife, when we don't know. Just because we never heard the news doesn't mean that we know all the news. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. There's not a person in this room that knows what's going on in everybody. In fact, I don't know that there's a person in this room that knows about what's going on in anybody else's life completely. You know, I know spouses are supposed to know each other, but even then, you can't know perfectly what's going on inside of that person. The only thing you can know and partially know is even of yourself, and I would even say partial. The only one that knows our hearts is God, not even us. That's why we've got to be so very careful with people. But can I open up another element of this? We need to be careful at judging even in circumstances as well. Sometimes we judge circumstances and say, well, you know, we can't do this, and we think of things that are going on at work or things that are going on at home or even in the church. You know, things that are going on here. We have partial understanding. We didn't know everything, and we make judgments and say, well, I don't understand why we're not doing this, and I don't understand why we're doing that. Hold on a second. Do you know everything about it? You know, one of the biggest detriments that we have in our church that we don't do is we don't ask questions. You know how many things in even just my married life I have found out that if I would have just asked a question, there would have been a whole lot of things cleared up. You ever found that to be true? Ask the question. You know what? When you don't ask questions and you don't understand why, and you easily then judge somebody or judge a circumstance because you didn't know everything. Well, I didn't know. You know what? Well, right, you didn't know. Ask questions about it. Find out about the circumstance. Don't judge a circumstance. Don't judge a person when you don't know. We've got to be so careful. In fact, most of the time, we don't know. I really think that we are people that, you know, there's some people that think the best of other people, but there's a lot of us that don't think, I mean, we, you know, guilty before proven innocent. They're guilty. You know, they couldn't have, whatever. There's so many things. I know, and I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to open up Melissa and I, our marriage, but I will say there have been so many misunderstandings of things that I assumed or she assumed or whatever like that, and a simple declaration, that's not what I meant. It's not what I was trying to say. And it's, oh, cleared it right up. We don't know everything. And because we don't know, but we're so quick to cause a judgment. I don't understand, and we're doing this, and why, and all of this. And what happens is we don't ask questions. We don't find out the truth. We will go ahead and we judge the circumstance. We judge the person, and we develop an attitude inside. We develop all kinds of things. We build up all kinds of garbage inside of us. And it was all based upon nothing. And you know what the devil loves? He just laughs at that. Because he said it was all based upon nothing. There was nothing there. They didn't know all the facts. And they built up this thing about this person. And they condemned there. And they judged this. And now they're apart. And now they're enemies. And now they're split up. And now they're... Because somebody didn't know the facts. because somebody wasn't all-knowing. And we don't have that ability to know everything. And that's why we don't have the privilege to judge on things that we don't know. Does everybody understand what this is saying here? And that's all that Paul is saying. He says, don't judge because you don't know. You don't know what's going on. You don't know that person's background. You don't know why they did this. There are some times that you make a decision on doing it. It might be different than what you normally make. But because of this one little element inside of this circumstance that you made the decision and you're hoping that other people don't judge you because of it. Oh, be careful. I hope that you all are getting this. And I will say, this is one of the biggest detriments to churches because we don't know a lot of things and we do a lot of judgment calls on a lot of people. We think that we know. We know all about this person, that person, and we don't. My friend, I want to tell you, you might think that you know about everybody, but you don't. You don't. You don't know what motive. Think about motivations. I told you, I don't even understand my own motivations. Then how in the world do you, how can you judge somebody else's motives on why they did what they did? It can be so wrong, and it can be so destructive. It can be so dividing and completely wrong. And that is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you be careful. You be so careful to make judgments on people and their circumstances because we don't know everything that God does. Okay? Even notice the last phrase. I think this was interesting. In verse 5 there. Did you catch? And I never even caught this until I was studying it. He said, and then, the end of verse 5, and then, this is after he's going to make known the hidden, bring to light the hidden things and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. That stuck out. Every man shall have praise of God? Now we'll get to that in the end. That every man, and remember, judgment seat of Christ, we're talking about who? Saved people, believers. Okay? All believers at the judgment seat of Christ are going to receive praise of God. Now that might blow your mind a little bit, and we're going to look at that later. But every man is going to receive praise. That right there tells us that we've got to be careful at judging. Some people we write off and you say, there's no good in that person. They're all bad. Listen, God's going to praise them. Catch that? God's got something good to say about them. I'll give you a little secret. It has nothing to do with them, though. It has everything to do about God. Do you realize that God is everything to us? In fact, we'll read here in verses 6 and 7. We're not going to be there tonight. But it's so foolish to glory in anything. Because we don't have anything that God didn't give us. Now, that's for next week, or probably 2 weeks. But it is interesting, though, that God has praise of people. We've got to be so careful at judging. So careful to make judgments on people when we have limited knowledge and understanding. So we can come to wrong conclusions, wrong revelations of people. I want you to see a second thing, though. We see that God's judgment, in His judgment, He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now that's an amazing thing. He's going to bring to light those things that are hidden. The things of darkness. You see, all truth will fully and completely be made known. Can you imagine a group of people dressing up into some sort of a character, and you can do whatever you want to. Let's say that we all dressed up into some sort of a costume. You do whatever, and you're gonna. And the object is to hide yourself so that nobody can tell, nobody can see who you are, you know, and identify you. Can you imagine? Okay, we can release everybody. Next week, we're gonna have this thing. You're gonna show up. We're gonna try to identify each other. Okay, probably a dumb thing to do. I wouldn't try it. But let's say that we did that. And everybody, you know, is there, and we're looking around. We're trying to, oh boy, I can't tell. Boy, is that Carrie over there? You know, and whatever. And we're looking around, and we make it through, and we might make a judgment here, and we might make a judgment there. I really think that that's that person right there. I don't know, but I think it's them. And we go through, and in the very end, you know, and let's say that we're having a competition. We tricked, okay. There's You know, let's say that there's, you know, 60 people in here tonight, and I did a really good job, and I fooled 40 or 59 people out of 60. No, but, you know, only one person got me. And, you know, at the very end, you know, we come and everybody makes their predictions of who this is and who that is, and boy, I never couldn't find that person. And then there's a revelation. Everybody, you know, is standing there, and we're looking at this crazy character, and nobody could figure out who he was. And all of a sudden, you know, he takes off his mask, he takes off this and whatever, and we're all like, that's who that was? I can't believe it. They were so, you know, it was so different. I never knew that. Now that's a silly illustration. When God judges, there's going to be so many things revealed that people on the outside never, I mean, really? And that's not the point, the really. The our level has really nothing to do with this. What really has everything to do with it is God's going to make known truth about our reality. Not judgment of sin. Our motivations and why we did what we did. And that's tough. That's tough. And we're not going to be condemned for it. But a lot of what maybe we thought we got will burn. Burn up. And I won't be able to take that element that everybody thought was so wonderful and cast it at Jesus' feet. It says that truth will be revealed. Interesting thing about this. So the real me is going to be revealed one day. And the real you is going to be revealed one day. Folks, it's so important. Can I say this? That's an element about the judgment, but can I say this? It's why we need to take advantage of what God has set up and getting right. You know, it's possible for all of us to walk in the light, to be in the light, so that there is no major one day. In fact, it would be good to be like, well, that makes sense. That was right on with that person. And again, we could look at a lot of scriptures. If you're taking notes, 1 John chapter 1 talks about that. 1 John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 would be a good one. And I mentioned about Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24. Listen, folks, the time is now to say, search me, show me, God, who I really am. Wouldn't it be better for God to show us who we are now than to wait until the judgment seat of Christ and revealed and every... Again, the point is not everybody else, but I think even us, we're going to be like, the real me. Let's get right. Let's be in the light now. The way we ought to be in the light. Psalm 119 verse 11, which talks about that word, if I hid my heart, then I might not sin against thee or against God. All right, so the hidden things, the things that are in dark will be turned to light. Thirdly, God's judgment will go further than actions. I think that's an important thing. Notice what he says, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Again, the judgment is going to be much deeper than what we just did, but what was going on in our motives, and we've already talked about that, so I'm not going to stick on that very long, but we need to understand that those motivations will be revealed. Lastly, I just want you to see that every man shall have the praise of God. Like, and this was kind of the gem of the passage for me. Every man shall have praise of God. And I want you to see three reasons for this amazing statement. Every man, he says at the end of verse 5, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, he's kind of set us up a little bit, you know, that the hidden things, the dark things are going to be brought to light, and we're geared up towards negative. And then he says, and even the hidden counsels of a man, so we're talking about the inward things, and we're about ready for him to make a condemning statement. And then he says, yeah, everybody's going to have the praise of God. I don't know if it caught you off guard, but it caught me off guard. You would think that it said, yes, and every man's going to be condemned. And every man's gonna wish that he hadn't done that. And every man's gonna have to go through this. But that's not what he said. He said every man's going to have the praise of God. And so what does he mean here? Why will every man, now remember, who's every man here? We're talking about Christians, okay? Every man that's at this judgment. Unsaved people are not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. It's Christians. So at this judgment, every man is going to get God's praise. How is that possible that God is going to praise us? Well, maybe it's a little tricky. Here are three reasons as I close. Number one, because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. Why are we able to do what we do? Because God has graced us with Himself. He's given us that. If I were to hand out, as I used last week, $1 million, if I gave you that money, and I go, up to Wynn, and I say, Wynn, $1 million. And Wynn takes that gift, which he didn't earn. He didn't do anything for it. He just was there. He reached out and he took it. He received it as a gift. And as soon as we gave it to him, he started, whatever, the focus was on all that he did to get it. And we're like, wow, you're amazing. You're a millionaire. And you are, this. And we start, really looking at him as a different person. What's wrong with that? He didn't do anything that anybody else couldn't do, right? All he did was stick his hand out. And you say, well, I'll stick my hand out as well. And we all would, right? I'll stick my hand out. I'll take it. Because he's not doing anything except sticking out his hand to get it. He didn't work hard for it. He wasn't some great businessman or entrepreneur that did all this and invented this and did all this work to make himself a self-made millionaire. He didn't do anything for it. He just stuck his hand out. That's all we are. Everything that we've done in life, we've stuck our hand out for. You know what? God is going to give us praise, but it's not, Sean, you really did a good job at serving me in your life. It almost seems a little bit backward. He gives me the grace, and then he praises me for having it. I don't know if you're getting it here, but do you realize how, some people say God is so selfish because he gets all the praise for everything. Do you realize just for a moment what this is saying? God gives you the grace and then he praises you for it. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be praised. And honestly, there's nothing to receive praise for. That's why I believe that there's going to be no place for us to accept that gift of ourselves when we're standing there in front of Jesus' feet. There's only going to be one response, and that's if it's genuine and it stands the test of that fire, we're going to cast it at his feet because we'll all know, I didn't deserve this. You gave it to me, God. You gave me that grace to be it. Folks, I want to tell you something. The reason why God's going to praise us is because of his own self. And yet, in a sense, I'm not saying he's sharing his glory, but in a sense, he's so selfless to give me praise at the judgment seat for something that I just received from him. Again, I walk up to Wynn, I give him $1 million, and as soon as I give him $1 million, I say, Wynn, wow, you're such an amazing man, you're a millionaire. That doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense that God would even do that, but he does. Tremendous. God's grace. So we will be praised because of his amazing grace. We will be praised because of faith. Now, you say, what do you mean? Because of faith. Think about why you're even there. Who is there at the judgment seat? All believers are there. And we're there because we have placed our faith and trust in Christ, right? We've done that. But honestly, is it anything that we've done? It's kind of the same thing. You know what? He's sitting here saying, we're going to be praised, but the reason why you're here is because you're saved. because you're saved. Because Jesus went to the cross to save you. And then he turns around and he said, all men will be praised of God. Because of our faith, we're people of faith, we're saved, so we're there. We're there at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's only because of him. All to him I owe. Amazing. And again, I think we'll cast those crowns back at his feet. And thirdly, kind of something a little bit differently, I think that we will be there practically there to give it to him, even because of what he's built in. And again, this is a gift from him, and that's confession of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says what? When we do sin, what does he say? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even that comes from God. We sin, we're wrong, we confess, he forgives us, and he heals us. All of these things we receive praise for, and yet all of these things are because of him. Kind of amazing. As we close, folks, we need to be very careful. God is the only one that can rightly judge. I don't know if you caught it, but did you catch it? His judgment is going to be much praise. That is amazing. I'm not saying there's not going to be anything else, but all men will receive praise standing at the judgment seat of Christ because of what God has done in our lives. But Christian, be so careful. It is not our place before that judgment to judge in areas that we do not know. God is a judge. If you don't know, let's assume. Let's do differently. Later in 1 Corinthians, Paul is going to come back at us and tell us how we ought to be judging people. And in fact, he's going to say what in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? When you don't know, assume what? Assume right. Assume innocent. Assume right motives. Assume that there must have been a good reason why they weren't there. Assume that they must have made that decision because it was the best thing to do. Assume that maybe I just didn't, you know, hear what was going on. Assume that this is all, it's all good. It's assume the best of a person that, you know, that what they're saying. Oh, folks, be so careful. Be so careful. That's what's going to keep, that's what will keep a church together. Rather than taking God's place. That's when we get in trouble, is when we take God's place, we try to do what he does best, and we mess everything up. Because we're not knowing. We've got to be so careful. And so, this is what Paul's telling us, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. Let's practice this. Let's be together. Let's let God have his way. Lord, would you please help us with this? Oh, we're so judgmental. We think that we're so wise. We think we know everything. We look at circumstances and assume them, and we make judgments, and we get disgruntled, discouraged. We get uptight about things, and most of the time for no reason. God, would you help us to just trust? The perfect judge will take care of everything. Lord, help us. Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to let you have your way, to let you be our judge. In Jesus' name, amen.